Well, good morning, One Church. How are we going? Warmer than me? Why is that? I might just move this table a bit closer over here, actually. Okay, don't put any slides up yet, please. But some of you might be wondering, why is Pastor Matt not wearing any shoes? Yes, has it crossed your mind yet? Well, Pastor Matt's not wearing any shoes. Could it be I've, you know, hit some financial trouble and, you know, new shoes are hard to sell my shoes. maybe it's because the dog destroyed them or the kids have hidden them. I mean, Pastor Chris would know all about that. Where's my shoe? or maybe it's because I have some sort of serious fungal infection. And, you know, just keeping them encased in leather just breeds more mold and cheese and stuff. So, now, can anyone guess why I'm not wearing any shoes? Come on, anyone have a guess? I've become a hobbit. Not quite hairy enough yet, Nathan. Anyone else? Part of my message. Could be part of my message. Standing on holy ground. Oh, good one, Juanita. I like that. Shall I tell you why I'm wearing no shoes? Because my feet are beautiful. They're beautiful feet. I mean, check them out. Don't you see how beautiful they are? And I only cut my nails the other day because they were breaking my socks. No, look, they're not beautiful because I get pedicures, not because I'm, you know, moonlighting, earning money part-time as a foot model. No, unfortunately not. They're beautiful because they carry a beautiful message. You know, they carry a message of good news, of peace, of hope, of joy. They're beautiful because they bring a message that can turn people away from destruction and lead them to the only one who can give them everlasting life. That's why they're beautiful. That's why these feet are beautiful feet. And wherever they tread, they should be bringing beautiful good news. So over the past 3 weeks, God has spoken to us as a church to, first of all, check our eyes. You know, I shared a message on what are we fixing our eyes on in our day-to-day lives. Is it Jesus or is it other things? You know, and then the next week, Pastor Chris shared a powerful message on what are we speaking about, checking our mouths. Are we in partnership with the enemy's speech? Or are we in partnership with God and speaking life? And then last week, who was here last week? Pastor Candace. Sorry, don't get distracted by my feet. I know they're beautiful. Pastor Candace shared a powerful message about our hearts. Do you remember Anna shared that story about how the son who received a heart transplant and the mother of the deceased son came and wanted to just listen to her son's heartbeat to the recipient of this heart transplant. And she was saying how God is putting his ear to our church to see if he can hear his son's heartbeat in our church, in our chest. And so the question was, do we really have Jesus' heart? And as a church, we've been going through having a heart for the lost and a heart for the next generation, the heartbeat of Jesus. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God wants you to have beautiful feet. Now, I think for a moment, Diane was, Denise was worried that we were going to do foot washing, weren't you? I see it. Do you know what? I want to tell you a story. It's so funny, right? Denise hates people touching her feet, okay? And then the first day she came to prayer meeting working at the office, we did foot washing. And she was like stiff as a board. She just wanted no one to touch her feet. But fair play to her. She let me wash her feet. So I think I'm the only man who's ever washed Denise's feet, aren't I? See, this is Christian love for you right here. Please turn with me to Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. You can use your phones if they're on airplane mode. Just don't let them interfere. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Is this fresh? Okay, just checking. Strained from my sock. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him or her who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns, church. This passage was talking about when the Jews had been exiled in Persia and King Cyrus had permitted the Jews, held captive in Babylon to return to their native land. And these forerunners or these heralds, this is what Isaiah is referring to, these heralds who were sent to proclaim to those in captivity this liberating message to the Jewish people. You're free, no more captivity, it's time to go home. And to them, that was good news. That was amazing news. God had triumphed. God reigns and had rescued them from captivity. And Isaiah's prophecy also speaks to us today of the beautiful feet of those who bring the gospel. The good news that they're out there partnering with God for the salvation of men. They're people who are co-laborers with Christ, entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. See, the feet speak of activity. They speak of motion and progress. And those who are active in moving in the work of preaching the gospel wherever they are. And they have beautiful feet. Those who proclaim peace. Those who bring good news of good things. Who proclaim salvation. Who say to people, our God reigns. And so the good news, the news of peace, the news of hope, the news of healing and salvation can all be summed up in this glorious proclamation. Our God reigns. That's the good news. And you see, where God reigns, peace reigns. Where God reigns, hope reigns and turns to joy. Where God reigns, salvation reigns. Heaven and earth will be renewed and all the earth will declare that our God reigns. That is the good news. I want that to stir in your spirit tonight, today, this morning. Why is it such good news? I want to tell you why it's such good news. Because once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I'm going to get you to jump around a bit today, but it's important that we get hold of the scripture and the full story, isn't it? It's important that we understand what God is actually saying to us. So, Ephesians chapter 2. I forgot to turn my phone on airplane mode. Verses 1 to 10. Once, church, once, everyone here, you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. They, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, and by our very nature, we were subject to God's wrath, God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. And he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us all in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. See, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this, church. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us, no one here can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all the good things he planned for us to do long ago. God does not desire that anyone should perish. But when Jesus returns, which is a lot sooner than we may think, he's going to rid the earth of evil and wickedness. Do you know that? All the stuff that's troubling us today that we're seeing in the world, Jesus is going to return with a whole bunch of angels and sort this mess out. And everything that does not fall into the kingdom of God will be cast away, will be destroyed. And so I want to tell you that he's not going to tolerate wickedness or evil. He won't turn a blind eye to it. He won't let it slide. He will separate and he will divide the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the weeds. This is known as the end time harvest. And this concept of harvesting is used quite frequently because it was very well understood back then in biblical times. See, in today's Western world, we're quite fortunate that we can go to a supermarket and just pick up our groceries. They're not actually made there, you know that, right? Kids, you know, groceries, you just don't go in there and pick them up, they're endless supply. They come from farms. And most of us have not worked on farms before. Anyone here worked on a farm? Rico, you work on a farm, don't you? Oh, yep. Yep. So the agricultural industry today provides food for our supermarkets, as it does for the ancient Israelites back then. It's been going on for generations, for thousands of years. And this framework was used in the lives of ancient Israelites. So when we read scripture, we see that there's no accident that the Bible is filled with farming and land references and metaphors, because most people were immersed in this work. I want to tell you a story that when my wife and I first met, we actually went harvesting. We went down Manjimup for how long was it? 6 months? 5 months. 5 months. And I don't know if anyone, has anyone here done backpacking? Basically, you have over in Australia called the Harvest Trail. And you can literally go around Australia following what fruits and are being harvested at that time. And so we went down to Manjimup and we would stay at a place called Tobacco Park, and it didn't have any tobacco there, so I don't know why it was called that. But we would stay there, and the owner of that place, he would actually farm us out to the farms. He would send out laborers into the harvest fields. And so we would go to different farms to harvest different crops. Now, those of you who haven't done harvesting or farms before, different crops need to be harvested differently. Did you know that? See, some harvesting requires backbreaking labor. And one of the things we used to harvest a lot was cauliflowers. Haley was known as the cauliflower queen. And literally, this is what you had to do. You had rows and rows of cauliflowers. And a harvester would drive between the rows with a harvester arm, and you would literally have a knife, and you would bend down, and you wouldn't really stand up because you'd have to bend down again. So you'd walk the whole way through, and just put my pants up, and then you'd just go along, and you'd that's what you would do for 9 hours of the day. It was backbreaking. But, you know, that's what we were sent there to do. And some harvesting required delicate, you know, to be delicate, like picking apples. Remember when we picked apples? And it was, the thing is with the apples, you have to climb ladders and you have to put them up, but you have to put them in so carefully into the basket and then into the bin, because if you bruise them, the farmer doesn't get the money from Coles or Woolies because they don't look presentable. So you're getting big trouble if you were seen like just dumping apples or whatever like that. You get fired. So you had to be so careful. You had to pick quick, but you had to like really be delicate the way you did it. So different fields and different harvest fields require different methods to harvest. And I want to take you to a story where Jesus was in a place called Samaria, and he meets a woman at a well. And you may all know this story pretty well. But Jesus, I'm just going to pick it up. It's probably not on your screen, but he's basically in this place called Samaria. And Jews don't really go to Samaria. They don't hang out there. Between the Jews and the Samaritans, there's a bit of a biff going on. And so Jesus is there in Samaria, and he comes to this woman at a well because he's thirsty, and he asks her for a drink. And she says, "Why are you asking me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. You're a Jew. You don't even talk to us." And he said, "Woman, if you knew who you're asking for a drink, you know, you would be asking for, you know, a drink that I give you that would become living water inside of you." He said, "I would give you living water." And he said, "About this well, anyone who drinks this water, they're going to thirst again. But the water that I give them, they're never going to be thirsty again. It'll be a bubbling spring inside of them, giving them eternal life." So he then speaks to her about her situation. Because he says, "Go get your husband." She goes, "I don't have a husband." And he goes, "I know you don't have a husband. In actual fact, you've had a few husbands. And the guy that you're with now is not really your husband." He speaks directly into her situation. She goes, "Oh, I see you're a prophet." And he goes, "You're right." And he makes this claim that he is the Messiah. And because of this interaction with this woman, because he sees this woman, he speaks to her, she perceives he's a prophet, he talks about spiritual things, she runs, it says, to a village and tells everyone, "Look, I think this guy's the Messiah. Come and see, come and see." And so as Jesus' disciples return, they see that he's, you know, he hasn't had anything to eat, or someone's got him a drink, and they're finding out what's going on. And he basically turns to his disciple and shows them these group of people all walking over to him now. They're coming from the village. And he says, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people bought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike." And that is in John 4, 35 to 36. See, Jesus walked with beautiful feet into Samaria with the good news. And he had a conversation with a Samaritan woman that produced a harvest of righteousness. It produced a harvest of souls in Samaria. And you see, church, we have a vision of the church to be an apostolic and prophetic center for the nations built on a foundation of prayer. What does that mean? It means, church, we're going to try our best to equip you to be a people who are sent by God, apostolic, sent by God into your areas of harvest, your harvest fields, with the word of God, the prophetic word of God to bring in the harvest. And so I want to just share just quickly some of the testimonies that shows that we've actually been doing this already. I was very blessed on Friday night, and I don't know if is Kirsten here today? No, she's not here. Anyway, I was very blessed on Friday night. Kirsten, who watched any of the Facebook with the dancing on there? Don't be embarrassed, Tyler. You danced awesome. Ben was better. But Tyler was great, you know. Alice just couldn't stop laughing while she was doing it, but anyway. But Kirsten, right, we had a coffee bar about a month ago, was it? Yeah, a month ago. She came in and we just started a conversation about spiritual things. I started talking to her about what she was created for. You know those moments when you speak to people and it just feels like God is just, you're out the way and God is just speaking directly into that person. And you could just see this well of water in her eyes bubbling up. You could see the transformation that was coming in her thinking and in her heart when she's receiving these words of life. She's like guzzling that, receiving this living water. And you know, she started coming along to the other events as well. It started with an invitation. And she came and on Friday night, she came and she taught the dance. She's been listening to Christian hip hop and she's a qualified dance instructor and stuff like that. And she taught all these kids within about, this is about 20 minutes, wasn't it? How to do this routine. And it was amazing. But this is what God wants to do. He wants to send us into people's lives with this word, with this amazing, beautiful message. Send us with beautiful feet in there. And we also as well are a healing, training, and sending center. And one of our own, Alyssa, we have, she's come in, healed, trained, and has been sent, and we've got a report from her today that I want to play. So can you just play that report from Alyssa, please?
Good morning, everyone. Goeiemôre. Hoe gaan dit met julle? How's it, my brew? All the other things that you've taught me to say. I've also learned some delightful South African slang. But I've been told that has to stay in Temperance Town and in Temperance Town only. So I'll tell you when I get back. So good morning, just a little update video on life here in South Africa. We've had holidays, so we've had a little bit of a break in our ministries, like youth and the aftercare had a special holiday program. But things the aftercare are going well. So I'm working with the teachers there to create a program for the what would kind of be like a transition program back home. So preparing the young children for grade R, which is the pre-primary equivalent. So getting them ready to go into school. One of the things we found with the older children who are middle to upper primary now is they didn't have that basic foundation. You know, your basic numeracy, your basic literacy skills, and things that we take for granted like colors and shapes, they don't know any of that. Even animals, they don't know. So one thing we're working on really hard to get through this term is a program that's going to support them in all of those areas. So that's what we're working on. We've tried a few things last term. We've seen a few things that are good, a few things that need some work, and a few things that just need to be scrapped altogether because they didn't work. So watch this space. I'll keep you guys posted.
I'm going to do mine.
Hi. These are our Temperance Town youth girls.
It's a video.
I get the privilege of spending Friday afternoons with them and just spending time with them. And what we normally do is we go for some kind of adventure, but we always spend time in prayer and we always spend time in worship. And what I just think is amazing is they don't have a picture of love. They don't have an understanding of Father's love or the Father's heart for them. But what they do know is our God. They know that they have a Father in heaven who loves them. They know that they have someone who is always there for them. They know that they have a plan and a purpose because of God and that He has called them for great things. So it is such a blessing, such an honor to spend time with them and just be able to love them. And they've shown me so much about love. They've shown me so much about what it means to want to follow Jesus with everything that you've got because Jesus is all that they have. So it's been so awesome to work with them. I don't know if this was a good decision, but I showed them the chocolate game, put a little bit of Aussie party flavor to them, and they had such a blast, and it was so, so, so fun. They started praying, please, Lord, asa believe, Yira, asa believe. And it was just the funniest thing, just the smallest things bring them joy, and that's what makes it so special, I think.
So, of course, I had to introduce the chocolate game to the One Church Gordons Bay youth group as well. These are guys between 15 and 18 years of age. And it's just been so cool working with them. At the beginning of the year, I asked them where they're at, what they wanted to know, what they needed to know, all the questions and queries that they had about God and walking this life with God. And one thing they asked me is, how do we even know God? How do we hear from the Holy Spirit? How do we make sense of the Bible? And so that is the journey that we've been on. And it's been so cool just being able to share with them and actually practice hearing from God together and getting words for one another and reading out of the Bible and figuring out what is the context for me. What is being a Christ follower mean for me? What does it mean in my family, in my school life, in my work life? And so just being on that journey together has been really special, and just seeing them sort of come alive as the word comes alive to them and being more engaged in reading the word and less insecure about that has been really, really cool to see.
Yay!
Though there's pain within the plan, there is victory in the end. Your love is my
I will talk to you very, very soon. I hope you have a lovely Sunday, maybe a nap. Yes. Lekker dag!
Now, you may think Alyssa's there in a harvest field where it's all chocolate games and making covers for cars, but I want to tell you, she is a prayer warrior. She walks around Temperance Town with Yvonne, and she prays. She intercedes for these kids. These kids are from such tragic and dysfunctional families that God has given us the privilege to hold the rope and send one of our best, I believe, into that with beautiful feet and the good news of salvation. No matter what she said that she's amazed by how these kids just have nothing but Jesus. And she's blessed by that. And this is what Jesus was talked about. You know, that the harvesters are paid good wage, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and those who harvest alike. See, church, we need the Holy Spirit to be a bold witness. That's why prayer is such important. That's why we're built on a foundation of prayer. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my bold witnesses. Holy Spirit is not just here to tickle our senses and to make us feel good when our lives are falling apart. He wants so much more than that. It's great when we are encouraged by his presence, and we need it sometimes, amen? But if it just stays at that, we become like the Dead Sea. All the water flowing in, but nothing coming out. And God wants to speak to our hearts today, to let the rivers go, to be those who carry the gospel. See, Jesus wants you to be a sent one. Jesus left this earth, but sent the Holy Spirit so his church can continue walking with the beautiful feet into the harvest field of the world. Jesus says, it's good that I go. Why is it good? Because if Jesus was still here, we'd all have to fly to Jerusalem to see him. And the 7 billion people on this planet. So it's good that he went and sent the Holy Spirit, because he can be with us all right now. And we can do the things that he calls us to do. See, you might be the only one who knows the right way to harvest where you're at. Did you think about that? Your industry, the business, the school, being a mum. There's a harvest field around you. God has given you a field in which to harvest. But as Jesus said, we just need to look and not wait. Because the saying was, oh, there's 4 months till harvest. Jesus is not saying wait. He's saying, get to it now. It's there. Bring the message. Whether you're a sought-after surgeon or a senior citizen, God has placed you in a field that is ready for the harvest time. The time is now. Church, God wants us to have beautiful feet. Feet that are not ashamed of the gospel. Beautiful feet that are ready to go into the harvest field with the gospel. I get it, though. Maybe your feet are not feeling that beautiful at the moment. Maybe your feet have stepped in a bit of poo. Maybe you can't see your beautiful feet from all the poo that they're covered in. And going through life, you will inevitably, somewhere along the way, step in some poo. But if you're going through some poo, that's when we need to follow Jesus and wash one another's feet. Serve one another, love one another, build one another up instead of pointing out that you've got poo on your feet. I don't want you to tell me I've got poo on my feet. I need someone to help me wash it off. I know I've got poo on my feet. It stinks. And that's what Jesus did. He got involved in the muck of humanity, the mess of it all, and he washed feet. He says, "The word I speak to you has made you clean." We need to speak the word to one another that we could be made clean. Maybe your feet are calloused and sore from carrying heavy burdens like work, family, finances, name it. Jesus says to you today, come to him. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. You can exchange all the stuff that you're carrying and worrying about with Jesus today and lift off that heavy load and enjoy a new spring in your step that you can share the good news, that you can run along those mountains, that you can jump over some poo. Or maybe, just maybe, if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, maybe your feet are running in the wrong direction. Maybe your feet are running into destruction and sin. Maybe that's why the feet are dirty and calloused and hard, because you're not running the way God has asked you to run. Maybe the direction is for your own sin and your own self-interest instead of into the harvest with good news that can set other people free. It's not about us. It's about him and his love for others. And if we read in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, Paul is writing about this, and he says, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You see, church, Jesus said in Matthew 9, 37 to 38, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Church, you can all have beautiful feet. Feet that bring hope, bring joy, bring peace, bring new life, salvation, deliverance, healing, restoration. You, church, can all have those feet. But if we're hanging out in the barn and talking to each other about how well we know the owner, instead of actually going out there to work, no one's ever going to see these beautiful feet. We know about the beauty of them all, and we receive all that stuff. But we have to take this message on these beautiful feet and go out there and speak. Just open our mouths. Lord, forgive us where we've refused to go. Forgive us where we've refused to speak. Lord, it is foolishness to preach the gospel. It will be rejected. But there are those who will receive it gladly. And you're calling us to be sent ones. Sent with your word. Lord, let us not look at our feet being ugly anymore. Let us not be ashamed of our feet. But Lord, let us see our feet as beautiful, carrying a beautiful message that brings those out of captivity, out of darkness, that shines light so that they can see. And Lord, we have to wrestle this in prayer. So Lord, I just pray today as well that in each person's quiet time today or a time that they're alone, they would pray the most dangerous prayer to the kingdom of darkness. Send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Just as Isaiah. Send me, Lord. The Lord is saying, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Holy Spirit, burn within us for that person or persons or family or whatever. Lord, that we would forsake our own interests and our own comfort and our own shame or embarrassment. But Lord, we would seek your glory. Lord, we would live for eternity because people are depending on us. How will they know unless someone tells them? Amen. Now, some people hesitate when it comes to inviting their friends to church. You know, we get worried about how will they react to the invitation? Will they get weirded out? Will it affect our relationship going forward? What will they think of our church? Will they get it? Will the service fall flat? Will the music and the message maybe suck? I mean, I'm even asking this, you know? While we may be well-intended with the sensitivity, these questions that are going on in our mind plant doubts. They stop us from actually saying, hey, look, come with us. Stop us from actually speaking in people's lives. I know you're broken, but I want to tell you about Jesus. It sounds such a dumb answer, but it's Jesus. It sounds too simplistic, but it is Jesus. By focusing on the ifs, we actually remove faith from God's leading. We're listening to the wind and the waves instead of Jesus saying come, or go in our case. Our confidence gets rooted in whether we can extend the perfect invitation to the perfect church with the perfect music, with the perfect message, with the perfect people. We should never, ever place our confidence in that church. You do not know. I've been in what I would say, you know, a service that hasn't gone together well. You know, it's like, it's cringe factor sometimes. And you've all been in a cringe factor service, yet someone responded to the message, yet someone got saved. Because God wants to demonstrate it's not about our fancy stuff. It's about his power. It's about his spirit. And that spirit is alive in you, church. Don't worry about the outcome. You plant, you water, God will grow it. But we got to sow it. So, I want to say to you that God delights in our weakness, in our foolishness of asking people or speaking to people, because his power is demonstrated. We go like, wow, I didn't think that would work. I want to tell you that we need to challenge ourselves. We need to invite and speak the message to people in the face of all our doubts and fears. It's an act of faith. And we're going to rely on God for the outcome. Now, if you're ready to invite someone and to take the plunge, I have pre-crafted a message right here. And I'm going to just send it to you all. Right, it's gone. Now, I know your phones are switched off, but you'll get it later. I've all sent you a message with a kind of like a just a template that you could send to anyone if you wanted to. And it's about Dr. Camille on Saturday night. Okay? About understanding end times. Understanding the times, it's called. All you have to do is that person that God has just put on your heart, you just have to send a text. You're not responsible for the outcome. But you're the one to take the step of faith. And you never know, today might be the day that they receive it. They might turn around and say, don't send me stuff like this. You've lost nothing. You're still going to be their friend. If they disown you because of that, then not really friends, are they? You know? So take the plunge today. You could always phone someone up after service as well. We have got this coming month, August, we have got speakers lined up that are just going to focus on sharing the gospel. If there's ever a time that you're going to invite people to church to hear the message, to hear the gospel, it's this month. Dr. Camille is coming, as I said, on Saturday, and he'll be preaching Sunday morning. Alejandro Arias, is that how you say it? Arias, will be coming on Tuesday night. That's an open invite as well. Pardon? No, it's the Tuesday after, yeah, after Dr. Camille. Week after that, we've got a healing meeting. It's been advertised in the local paper and flyers distributed. A lady called Meryl Stiance. And she's a gifted evangelist, and she does healing crusades as well. We've got Jacob Hill coming as well to share, especially with the young guys. Like, seriously, this guy was involved in gangs in Perth and everything like that when he was your age, grew up in gangs. You know, this is a guy to bring mates to listen to. He's a very relatable guy. And we've also got Deadly Nedley, Ned Davies, to come in and share the gospel as well. So we've got a fantastic month lined up for you to just take that step, to have beautiful feet. So leave this place today knowing that you have beautiful feet and that you can share the gospel with people, that you can extend an invite, that you can speak the words that Jesus wants you to speak into the lives of others. Because you're sent once. Let me just pray for you before we go. Father, I just thank you for every person here, Lord. And Lord, if anyone is struggling with fear about sharing their faith or inviting people, Lord, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just wash over them right now. That you would show them that you're with them. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you as well, who has not experienced the good news, has not experienced this news of everlasting life, that they're thirsty and just dry from just looking in all the wrong places to get satisfied. That, Lord, that you're the Lord of the harvest. We ask, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to their spirit right now and tell them that they need prayer, that they need to come forward, they need to surrender to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just want to bless every person this morning that they would go out into their own harvest fields. They would see that the harvest is truly plentiful. And that they would be a sent laborer with the word of God. And let them be prayed up and sent out in Jesus' name. Amen.